Let's open our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 15. We'll read verses 32 down through verse 38. 2 Kings 15. This is the reign of Jotham, who was a king over Judah. And in the second year of Pekah, the son of Reelmah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jeshua, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit the high places were not removed, and the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And in those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Reelmah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. Here we have the reign of this man named Jotham. If you'll notice, it never gives the date they died or whatever the year, but it tells when they began to reign. He began to reign when he was 25, and he only reigned for 16 years. So he was a young man when he died. He was only 41. And what I can understand, they were none of them lived as long as David did. They were none that reigned as long as David did. But this king, he was the son of a man named Uzziah. And you think about living in a man's house, or that man being your father. He died as a leper. We'll see that again in a minute. And he probably reigned with his father for 11 years. 11 of his 16 years, his father was still alive. His father reigned for 52 years. And the last so many years, he was a leper because God had sent a curse upon him. Back in chapter 26, here's some things about Uzziah. Before the Lord smote him with leprosy, Uzziah sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah. Zechariah was the prophet who had understanding in the visions of God. So he sought God's direction. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I know sometimes you study these things, and they can be hard to study at times, to keep everything separated. But the main thing is you look for statements like this, because Christ is in these scriptures. These things were written not just to fill up pages. They were written for our admonition and our learning. So what we could learn from Uzziah is, as long as we seek the Lord in his guidance, God makes his ways to prosper. He says, make us to prosper. And then in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 26, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. He had all these brilliant men around him, and they came up with these many different engines or these things for war, to be on the tower upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped. This is not what God used this man, but the Lord enabled him to do whatever he is able to accomplish. That's how his name went abroad. And he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He probably got to the place and he thought, look what I've done. Nobody has military equipment like I do. Nobody had these. Nobody's done what I've done. And what happened when he was strong? This is his fall. But when he was strong, when we think we're strong, we're in a mess. Our strength is of the Lord, not in of ourselves. It's not of the arm of the flesh. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense, and that's when God smote him with leprosy. But why would he even think that he could even do such a thing? Why would he, you know, his mind be so mixed up? Because he got lifted up with pride. Pride's a horrible thing. One thing we do know that God hates, he hates a lot of things, but he really hates pride. A proud look. How a man thinks he that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall, so we could learn something from there. Don't ever look to yourself. It's not your strength. It's his. We looked at that last Sunday. Peter toiled all the night. He knew exactly how to fish. He had everything that he needed to fish. Didn't catch any fish. That's us trying to do something in the arm of the flesh. And the Lord said, let down the net. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. What made the difference? The Lord put them fish in the net. He was showing Peter and showing us that we can do everything just exactly right. And if we're not, even when the Lord begins to bless things, we can be, if you're not careful, you can be lifted up with pride. The Lord called Paul up to the third heavens. Unless he would become exalted above measure, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him humble. Uzziah, like so many other kings, he started out well, but he ended horribly. It's not how you begin. It's how you finish up. Can't be around people. You have to live outside the gate. If somebody comes close, you have to put your hand over your mouth, crying, unclean, unclean. You know why? You can't even breathe on somebody. And this is Jothan's father. What kind of father do you have, Jothan? Well, he's a leper. He's a leper. Imagine what he learned from his father. He could learn, there was a lot of things he could learn from his father. He could learn to seek God's will. He could learn from that. His father could tell him. Oh, the things his father could tell him. The things he should do and the things that he shouldn't do. He could learn to seek the Lord. He could learn to honor the Lord. Then he could learn what he was not supposed to do. Till he was strong. Then he was filled with pride. For all practical purposes, Jothan, he reigned, it's called a viceroy, which is, he's a ruler exercising authority in a colony on behalf of the sovereign. He's ruling in place of his father, because his father, he can't come in to Jerusalem because he's a leper. So his son, Jothan, for the last 11 years of Uzziah's life, he's doing the reigning. It was in his hands. This was Jothan, the son of Uzziah. He will erect cities and protect the people in his kingdom. That's what he will do. He began to reign, like I've already said, when he was 25 years old. And his reign only lasted 16 years. And you notice there, it said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And there in verse 34, it said he did what was right as his father Uzziah did. Now, what do we learn from that? If you'll notice, when I read that, and in this passage, it nowhere mentioned what Uzziah did. And nowhere mentioned him being lifted up with pride. God didn't mention it. You know why? Because his sin's been put away. We remember it, but God didn't remember it. And God didn't even have it written down. We have an example of this in the scripture because as God sees things, that's how things really are. Here's an example. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 2. Here's an example of Moses. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren. He looked on their burden. He spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews were strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely the thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard what Moses did, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well. Now that's how it's recorded. That's what happened. But how does God record it in Hebrews 11? When it records those that live by faith, turn to Hebrews 11, verse 24. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh in Exodus. If they found it, Hebrews 11, 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And Exodus said he was the king says, I'm going to kill you, and so we think that he's leaving by fear. Here it says he by faith he forsook Egypt. He's looking to God and trusting in him. What I want you to see, that's how God recorded it. And that's why he didn't mention that about Uzziah. It's the same way. We're no different than Uzziah. But it's amazing. This is how the Lord, he said by faith. And that's what he did. That's how he did live. It was by faith. By faith. He said all that his father Uzziah has done. This is not speaking of when Uzziah went into the temple and tried to offer incense. He didn't do those things. All the good that he did while he sought the Lord. And there were very few kings, very few, that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You think about that. He's the 11th king of Judah. And on Judah's side, they were the only ones that had a very few kings, good kings. On Israel's side, they didn't have any that did right in the sight of the Lord. You imagine how gracious it would have been to have had a good king to reign over you. Because as the king ruled is how the people went. It's either they would be blessed or they would be cursed based on how the kings reigned. To have a good king would be having a cold drink of water in the desert. It would be a refreshing Jothan. It's kind of ironic that he only reigned for 16 years. Good king. His eyes 51 years. He even reigned longer than his son lived. Someone said that, you know, he had sought the Lord and tried to do that which was right, but the people, we're going to see they still did corruptly. They still disobeyed the Lord. They still were worshiping at these high places. God has never left himself without a witness. Never. Whether it was a king or it was a prophet, God would make men know that he rules and he reigns. God brought this man to the throne, and we have the record of this man because God recorded it. We can be thankful that though we are by nature like the evil king, and we are never without the presence of God in our midst, His presence is not dependent upon our obedience. If it was, he would never manifest his presence. Never. It wasn't that Israel deserved a good king. Where's your king? Oh, he has leprosy. Well, how did he get leprosy? Oh, he took it upon himself. He thought he could be his own mediator. He was taking upon himself something that's not his. And here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, prophesy during these days. And you listen to this statement, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Also in that chapter, he said, from the top of our head to the sole of our foot, there's no soundness in us, but there's just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And except the Lord of hosts had left us unto us a very small remnant, just a very small remnant, we'd be in Sodom and we'd be in like unto Gomorrah. Inside there, inside Israel, inside Judah, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Just a small remnant of believers. And it's the same thing today in this world. Compared to this world, I think there's over 7 billion people in this world now, on this earth. A very small remnant, according to the election of grace, believe Christ and trust Him. He's promised to never leave us, nor forsake us, no matter how low it got. Just read. You begin reading through the Judges. Oh, that was sad. You get over into Samuel, you read about King Saul, and then you read about David. He was a man after God's own heart, but he's still seeing that in here comes Solomon, and all the things that Solomon did, and we had the split of the whole nation because of Solomon's sin. But God still loves his people. It never, ever changed his love for his people, ever. That's amazing. That's just grace. Grace. He reigned well. His reign was very short, 16 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You notice that it was right in the Lord's sight. That's what matters. The Lord sees it. The Lord sees the motive. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He's going to judge the secrets of men. We saw that Wednesday night at the great white throne judgment, when all men will stand before God and give an account for every idle word, every vain thought. The thought of foolishness is sin. We've never had one good thought, never. Everything we touch, we defile, everything. We've never had one good motive. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we had to do. And God said what he did was right in his sight. And we know that speaks of one, that speaks of Christ, who our Lord said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. He did that which was right. But you notice there it said he did not remove the high places. There's only one high place, and that's Christ. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? You know what Jerusalem was? The temple, it was on the temple mount. That's the hill. That's where we worship. But they had all these other high places. These were man-made places. These were places that people would feel a little bit exalted above other people. You know, I'm just a little bit higher. I know just a little bit more. That's what these high places were. Though he didn't remove the high places, and he didn't, and I don't think any of them did till they were taken into captivity. These places, like I said, they set forth man exalting himself by his own strength. His own strength. They never got rid of those things. They were always there. Every king, they would do that which was right, but they didn't remove the high places. You know why? These high places had become traditions. Someone said they'd become so embedded in the minds of the people. This had become a matter of acceptable worship. We've done this for years. Nobody questioned it. It had become, why did you go to the high place? Well, that's where Daddy went. That's where Grandpa went. That's where Great-Grandpa went. Never question it. If you was to ask somebody, why do you give altar calls? Well, I never thought about it. You know what? It's become a tradition. It has happened for so long, and they only started this back in the late 1800s with Charles Finney. But now that's just the thing to do. Nobody even questions it. And other things, it's, you do it so long, that's what's happened. It had become a tradition, and they thought, well, there's not anything wrong with it. You know who set up the first high places? A man named King Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. That man who had so much wisdom, that man who was exalted and raised up and built the temple, that man, and he went not fully after the Lord as David his father did. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemoth, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon, Moabites and the Ammonites, the descendants of Lot. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto other gods. Well, if Solomon built them, they must have been okay. And the reason he did, because Solomon was instructed, kings were instructed not to multiply to them wives. Read, I think it's in 1 Kings 11. He had like 700 wives and concubines. And then he was not to multiply unto himself horses, and he did. And these women stole his hearts away. So what's he going to do? He's going to set up these high places, these designated places, where men can worship themselves and worship the flesh. That's why men set up high places. We've got places today, they call it a church, it's just a man-made high place. And they worship their false gods. The Bible says they worship devils. They don't. Either they worship God or they worship devils. All those false gods, that's what they are. And God said he did evil in his sight. God didn't say it was good. God said it was evil. And all these things that go on in these traditions, that men, it's evil in God's sight. That's what matters. God says it's evil. After a while, this has become just a tradition. Why didn't he try to take them down? They were probably so ingrained they couldn't. When tradition gets so ingrained, only God's sovereign grace can remove those things. And they left them there. It's kind of like, I was reading again this week about when the children of Israel took over Canaan. They wouldn't drive out all the people. Wouldn't, if they couldn't, they wouldn't. The Lord would have drove them out. And you know when they wouldn't? He left them there. Now deal with it. You've done this for so long, now it's a thorn in the flesh and you can't get rid of it. Try to change traditions. These high places, in men's thoughts, they were just traditions. These high places represented to the people, those who used them, a status that exalted them above the common believer. And it all pictures self-righteousness before God. That's what those high places are. So next time you read them, that's what it represents. Man in his own strength. Why do men even use traditions? It makes them feel good about themselves. God is worshipped from a low place of humility and meekness. He says in Psalms 34, verse 18, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You notice there in the scriptures, every time the Lord revealed himself to somebody like Isaiah, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Job said, I've heard of you, now I saw you, and I hate myself. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. That's a contrite spirit. You ever see God and you ever experience grace, it humbles a man. Not trying to exalt him, it humbles him. I hear and see so much that people do in the name of grace, in the name of the gospel, and it's nothing more than a disgrace. It's nothing but pride, and that's all that it is. It genders pride. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. Grace humbles a man. Listen, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Who with? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. If he ever moves, and he ever moves upon your heart, you want to look for somewhere to hide. You'll be like Peter last week. He said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He didn't say, look how many fish I caught. He said, boy, I'm a sinful man. Why would God do this for me? Why would he open my eyes and show me? Why would he show you that you're nothing? Nothing. Nothing. This is how we do worship. We take our place in the dust. We don't approach him like Judas. He approached our Lord as his equal. Walked up to him and kissed him on the cheek. Those who worshipped him fell at his feet. Remember the woman who washed his feet with tears and dried him with the hair of her head? But he approached him as his equal. We bow at his feet. These high places remain in the mind of those who still worship there. They think, here's what's so sad this morning. All those people playing religion, they think that God's accepting what they're doing. They think it's the way it's supposed to be done. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Here's the other rest of the count of Jotham's reign. Three verses 1-9. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jeshua, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built the cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Amorites, and prevailed against him. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver, and 10,000 measures of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second and the third year. So Jotham became mighty, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and his wars and his ways, though they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. You notice there it says in verse 2, the people did yet corruptly. That is reference to what we've already been talking about. They're worshiping at those high places. They were corrupt. They didn't honor or glorify God. Who did it honor and glorify? It glorified the flesh. That's who it exalted, not God. Now listen. These traditions of men, as they relate to the worship, are corrupt because after a time, they are set forth as if they were sanctioned by God. Or even worse, they say that this is what God has told us to do. Have no scriptural base for it. Religious tradition has turned true worship into nothing more than entertainment. Entertainment of the flesh rather than exalting the Lord. We come in and we sit down. You know, you can make, whether it's just, you can make just reading the scriptures, you can make what, if you want to call it preaching, singing, you can make all, there's just traditions, and that's all it is. It's just entertainment. People want to be entertained. That's the flesh. As we've already mentioned, God is worshipped from a low place of humility. And you know what usually happens? They usually take the Bible and throw it under here somewhere, and they say, we're just going to talk about our traditions today. It doesn't matter what the Word says. It doesn't matter what God's Word says. And we have an example of this. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I want to show you this. They were still doing this, just in a different way when our Lord came. And this is what always happens when men depart from God's Word. You notice in verse 6, He prepared His way before the Lord His God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, They had been watching our Lord's disciples. They said, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? They didn't say, Why do your disciples transgress the commandments of God? They said, Why do they transgress or break the traditions of men? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Oh my goodness. They did. Well, you know, we should wash our hands. We whatever. But they said, Look, they're filthy, they're vile. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You're worried about somebody breaking your tradition. He said, You've broken the commandment of God by trying to keep your tradition. You're putting the tradition above God's word. For God commanded, here's what God commanded, Honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift. But whatsoever thou might be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. You know what they were saying? They were justifying not helping their parents. They were saying, It's a gift to the church, so I can't help my parents. So they were justifying not honoring their father and their mother. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. They said, Well, we don't have to honor the Lord. We don't have to honor our father and mother. We're doing this. It's a religious practice. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah the prophet, he did prophesy you saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. They're saying, Well, we honor the Lord. But their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, and if you go in, I've never been in one, but if you go into most Catholic churches, they've got a little what they call holy water. And they wash their hands in it. And they think it's holy. I know a friend of mine, his brother-in-law was going to get married in a Catholic church. And that friend of mine, he knew what the water was for. And he was just getting going to get one over on the guys there. They was rehearsing for a wedding. And he says, Well, let's go back there and wash your hands in that water. And about time they go washing their hands, and, you know, here come the priest, and oh no, you can't be doing that. He broke their traditions. And he said, you hypocrites, you in vain you do worship me. They were saying, we honor the Lord. Empty religious rituals and ceremonies, even when the outward form conforms to God's word, is but taking God's name in vain. Because you can go through the rituals, you can go according to the scriptures, and if it's nothing more than their tradition, what are some of the traditions? Well, I've already mentioned men do altar calls, and it won't be long. In a few weeks, they'll be celebrating Mother's Day, and they'll be celebrating Father's Day. And, you know, on Mother's Day, they'll all read Proverbs 31, talk about a virtuous woman. And why do they do it? Well, it's tradition. Some of you didn't go through those things. I lived through those things. I know what it was like. And if your mother was living, you wore a red rose. And if your mother was passed away, you wore a white rose. And then to give every woman a rose. And, that Sunday was about exalting women. I remember the first time I thought, well, I'm just not going to mention it. You know, like I said, I didn't go in just trying to tear up the tradition. I was trying to use a little meekness with what little I knew. I thought, well, I'll just avoid it. Nobody won't say anything about it. So everything was fine until I'm standing back there shaking hands, and a woman walks back and she goes, ain't we going to celebrate Mother's Day? You know, why? It was traditions. We'd always... And there's no scripture for that. We're to honor him. Every time we come together, we're coming to honor him every day. Let me read to you what I read. I was studying this. I ran across this for Brother Fortner. I thought it was interesting. He's talking about, men, they were criticizing our Lord's disciples for not washing their hands. He said, years ago, I was in the company of several pastors in a restaurant. He said, when his meal was served, the senior pastor among us began eating his meal without bowing to give thanks, without publicly washing his hands. One of the younger men objected to his conduct, saying, I could never do that. I always give thanks before I eat, especially in a public place. He said, my older friend asked him, he said, why? He said, I want people to know I'm a Christian. The older, wiser pastor simply smiled and said, if you want people to know you're a Christian, they'll know it when you leave a tip. But you see how that something so simple, he didn't wash his hand. He didn't pray. Just because you don't bow your head and close your eyes doesn't mean you don't pray. But you see how things can, they're just traditions. Then in verses 3 and 4, we have the record of Jotham building the high gate. He did this for God's glory and the good of his people. That high gate was the eastern gate. It was built by Solomon, and it said here that Jotham, and I don't know what that means, he beautified the gate. The gate of entrance. The eastern gate. Probably being the gate that they brought the lambs in, the sacrifice. And what he built on the wall of Ophiel is not known. Whatever it was he built for the worship of God and the glory of God. All those things, that's what he did, and that's why he did them. Then in verse 5, he defeated the king of the Amorites, and they were made to pay tribute unto him. And we're going to see next week his the one who came after Jotham, Ahaz. He takes from the temple of God and gives to the Assyrians. He's trying to buy peace. They're giving to Jotham. They're giving money to him. Then in verse 6, as I've already mentioned, we see the reason why Jotham did that which was right. He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Ahaz did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made his way to prosper. What this man did, it prospered. God blessed it. What does that mean? Now, we're not, you know, the world, they teach, because the old covenant, this is what it taught. You obey these commandments and you'll be blessed. You honor your father and your mother. If you didn't, the people in the city would come get those children and take them outside the city and stone them to death. That's what the law said. If you want to live long, you better obey and honor your parents. So he was looking to Christ. He was trusting him. He said, those that honor me, I will honor them. You know what he told Samuel? If you honor him. Now, it ain't trying to get God to do something. We honor him because we want to honor him. We want to exalt him. And he says, I'll honor them. Hannah prayed for a son. And God gave her Samuel. You know what she did? She said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she did. And then the Lord blessed her with more children. That's when she said, those that honor me, he said, I'll honor them. And that's what we see here. And those who won't honor me, he won't honor that either. Everything that goes on in religion, it don't honor him. You know what honors him more than anything? You say, preacher, how can I honor the Lord? Believe him. Believe him. We're not believing traditions. We're believing the Lord. And when we all have these traditions, we all have things in our minds, but when the Lord shows us those things, you know what we do? We just give them away. We said, thank you, Lord, for showing me. But he didn't go, you know. What we would have done, I know what I would have done. I would have just grabbed the bull by the horns and say, well, I'm going to tear down the high places. You know what? That wouldn't have accomplished anything. Yeah, you may have tore them down, but you'd have messed in the process. I've seen things before, and, you know, as a pastor, you see things, and it disturbs you, and it's just like, well, I'll just wait. You know, and it wouldn't be long, the Lord just take care of it. And you go, you know, Lord, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful you give me faith to trust you. And you did it, and they did nothing. Everything was just peaceful and quiet, and everything worked. And it just fit. And when I don't know what to do, I don't do nothing. This Jotham, this king, he only reigned for 16 years, but he was mighty because he prepared, he established, or he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Let me give you another example of honoring the Lord. Judy Estes, who used to play the piano at Don Fortner's years ago, she had a very good job. She was like the vice president of a bank. And they told her one day, they said, we're going to have to start having a corporate meeting or a board meeting or whatever on Tuesday nights. And she said, I can't come. They said, what do you mean you can't come? She said, that's when we meet on Tuesday. We don't meet on Wednesday nights. We meet on Tuesday nights. They said, really? They said, that doesn't matter. You have to be here. She says, you didn't hear me. I won't be here on Tuesday night. And they said, well, it might cost you your job. They said, well, you just keep the job then. She honored the Lord, came on Tuesday night, and still kept the job. But you see what I'm saying? It'd been easy. The world, that's what the world wants you to do. Well, there's nothing wrong with this. It's just one night. You honor him. You listen to me. You honor him. And everything, you honor him. Where there's clear, his word is clear on something. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And I've seen people try to justify doing that. They said, I can't reconcile it because you can't. What he did. And I don't understand this, but I've only read this about this king. What he did was recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. They wrote it down, and they didn't want to forget it. May God help us to learn from his word. We still have a lot of things. You know what they are? They're grave clothes is what they are. They're things that our old flesh just cling to. And only God's grace can take these things away. And I'm glad he remembers, as Jeff prayed, he remembers that we're just dust. And you know what's amazing? They had all those things. But the Lord still gave them that king for 16 years. That's grace. He did. He honored the Lord. It didn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It's what does the Lord say? To his own master he stands or falls. You seek the Lord. You say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And he'll show you. And he honors it. And he gives you faith to trust him. Isn't it amazing how gracious he is? I hope that's been a help. Next, if you go ahead and read the next chapter, 2 Kings chapter 17 about Asa, and we'll try to look at that next Sunday.